This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Huge amounts of the super-warming gas methane lie frozen at the bottom of the sea. They are called clathrates. If they thaw and escape, a hothouse world surely results. New science finds even methane buried deep in the seabed can get out. The paper, published October 2023 in Nature Geoscience, is titled Long-Distance Migration and Venting of Methane from the Base of the Hydrate Stability Zone. From Newcastle University, we are joined by the Pro-Vice Chancellor, Global and Sustainability, and lead author of the study, Dr. Richard Davies. Richard Davies, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
We are going to talk about warming gases below the seabed, 1,000 or more feet below the surface. Humans never see that. We wouldn't know it was there. How did your team discover this methane?
We've known about the methane for decades. It's been detected from the 1970s onwards when seismic reflection data, when you send a sound wave into the Earth, the sound wave gets bounced back off the base of the methane. Because it's a boundary where there is a change in density and velocity, and the sound waves bounce back, so you can detect them. You can detect this hydrate reservoir around the world. But what I did during 2020, during lockdown, I'd had a number of PhD students studying this seismic data offshore Mauritania, but in 2020, after a decade of looking at the data, I dusted it off. I started looking at it again because we were in lockdown in the United Kingdom, and I made this remarkable discovery of these giant pot marks, big craters on the seabed, or just underneath the seabed, which were evidence of methane escape. So the basic technique is to look at seismic data, we call it. It's three-dimensional. It's a huge data set offshore of Mauritania, and it provides a layer-by-layer sort of picture of what's going on offshore Mauritania, where these hydrate reservoirs are located. And what we have evidence for is that they're melting when you warm the ocean.
It is wild and ironic that a drive by fossil fuel companies to find more warming gases paid the very high costs of mapping what lies below the sea. And you even found strange little volcano shapes, as you mentioned, hidden in the layers of the seabed. Do we know what caused them?
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, the oil and gas industry acquires this data at vast cost, and then it's academics and students who get to pore over it and to use it to understand the Earth and understand processes. And so it can be put to good use. The giant craters, we've seen giant craters on the seabed before. The ones that we discovered, or I discovered in 2020, are about a kilometer wide, about 50 meters deep. And we've seen these before, and they form usually due to methane bubbling up to the seabed. And as it hits the seabed, the methane just pulls up, entrains some of the soft sediment into the water column, and just slowly, bit by bit, bubble by bubble, erodes a crater. Now, if the crater is a kilometer wide and 50 meters deep, it suggests that a lot of gas has escaped from this particular region offshore of Mauritania. And so these pot marks, as we call them, are very distinctive things that we've seen on seismic data for the last 20 years. And when I saw them, I knew pretty quickly, yes, instinctively, that this was evidence of a significant, as I called it, massive venting of gas, probably methane. Because, of course, what I also knew is just in the deeper water, a few tens of kilometers away, was a very significant hydrate reservoir which was susceptible to melting when the climate warmed. And the climate has warmed over the last 20,000 years.
Are these pockmarks, as you say, currently venting methane, or is this something that happened in the long past?
One or two of them are still at the seabed. So when you look at the images, you can see on the seismic reflection data that some are buried by up to 80 meters of sediment, and one or two are at the seabed. That doesn't mean they're active now, but it suggests they may be. The only way of telling exactly when these features formed is to go to drill them. And sometimes in the bases of these craters, you find carbonate concretions, basically carbonate growths, and those carbonates have grown there because of the venting methane, and you can date the growths, therefore date the methane. So we don't know exactly when they formed, but because they're only buried by 80 meters of sediment, they formed probably in the last 1 million years. Some of them possibly active right now.
What are the estimates for the amount of methane buried under the sea, and how does that compare to greenhouse gases in the atmosphere now?
Okay, well, I haven't looked at the amount of greenhouse gas, methane greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, but I can tell you that the estimates for the amount that's trapped in, of carbon trapped in methane hydrates has varied significantly over the years. And overall, over the last 10 or 15 years, perhaps 20 years actually, the estimates have gone down. So they started as a very large estimate. It's now estimated about 1,800 gigatons of carbon are trapped in in methane hydrates, whereas oil and gas is about 5,000 gigatons. So it's smaller than oil and gas underground, but it's still a very, very big source of carbon. The difference between methane hydrates under the ocean and oil and gas is that we cannot control the leak of gas from methane hydrates. Of course, we can control what comes out of an oil well by not producing the oil.
There's been a lot of worry about methane bubbling up from the shallow seas north of Siberia in the Arctic, but frozen methane is found along many coastlines, and here you are working off the coast of Africa. So how widely distributed are these clath rates?
Well, they pretty much go around every continent of planet Earth. When you get, I mean, obviously varies depending on the water temperature, but generally speaking, between about 450 meters to 700 meters, there is a zone where the pressure and temperature are just suitable for methane hydrate to exist just below the seabed. And when it's just below the seabed, of course, any temperature changes at the seabed make this hydrate vulnerable. So there's a rim all pretty much around most continents.
So oceans are warming around the world. We know that. They're setting new records for at least as long as we've been able to measure them. Is that what is causing methane to escape from the seabed, or are there other factors possibly at play?
No, the dominant factor is increasing the temperature of the seabed, and this has been detected on the east coast of the United States, and it's also been detected around Spitsbergen in the Arctic Circle. In fact, the melting of hydrates in Spitsbergen, offshore from Spitsbergen, is thought to be related possibly to seasonal changes in temperature. Now, on the east coast of the United States, there's papers published in the last decade which have suggested that melting of hydrates is caused by a movement of the Gulf Stream. So the reason hydrates are melting in this very vulnerable zone between 450 and 700 meters is because of temperature change. What we're proposing, and this is why the research is novel and new, is we think people have been looking in the wrong place. We've actually shown that the methane can migrate from the deep ocean all the way up to near the shelf, going past this zone of 450 to 700 meters and bubbling up at shallower locations. It sort of bypasses that vulnerable zone, going right from the deep ocean to the shallow from a 1 or 2 kilometers depth right up to 300 meters depth, water depths, bypassing this vulnerable zone that most scientists have focused on for the last 10 or 15 years.
Well, this is alarming. How could methane travel so great distances underground?
Well, under the sea, as the sediments get laid down, as they come out of deltas and are distributed into the oceans, they can form quite uniform layers of sediment. And in those layers, some of the layers are sandy, and therefore they provide a natural permeability, which is the ability for fluids to move through a rock unit. It's effectively the natural plumbing that exists underneath every single continental margin around every single continent on planet Earth. Now, this particular region, the margin is very simple. It's not disrupted by any significant faults or folds. And therefore, the original sedimentary layers are probably connected from the deep ocean to the shallow. One of the things so when you release the methane in the deep ocean, 200 meters below the seabed, for example, it can migrate upwards towards the shallower regions until it gets to this magical depth of around 300 meters, where it has enough buoyancy to erupt through into the ocean. So simple margins where the geology is not disrupted by faults and other things, the plumbing can create these long-distance migration routes, and that's what we found.
For the current battle to save the climate, the essential question is, can methane bubbling up from the dark ocean bottom reach the atmosphere where it would warm the planet, or will it be captured by ocean water and organisms that eat methane?
Yes, it's a very important question. There was some research published a few years ago which said that really, if the water's deeper than 400 or 500 meters, the gas would have to come out at a very high rate in very significant, massive fluxes, because the gas would normally dissolve in the water column. So you need a significant chimney of gas to get from the seabed, let's say at 600 meters below the sea surface, right up to the atmosphere. What's important about the research we've just published is that we've shown that the gas can migrate to shallower locations, bypassing this vulnerable zone where the hydrate's just below the seabed. And so these gas vents are actually 15 or so kilometers landward of any hydrate. And they're at shallower depths at 300 meters. And they're big vents. They're big pot marks. It does suggest that something significant happened there over the last million years, possibly over the last 18,000 years. So my view is that there will be places on Earth where this will happen. But it does take time for the temperature change in the ocean caused by climate change to penetrate down to 200 meters, where the hydrate is very susceptible in the deep ocean. And so a change we make today or 100 years ago would take some time to impact those hydrate reservoirs.
If a quantity of escaping methane stays in the ocean, does that add to ocean acidity?
Yes, it does. And that's so even if this methane doesn't hit the atmosphere, get to the atmosphere, because the plumes have to be very big because the methane dissolves in the water column, it would cause ocean acidity, increases in ocean acidity. So there's no doubt about that. You know, where we are as scientists, I don't think we really know yet how much is going to come from the different routes we've all established. There's many different papers on how this methane could get into the ocean and the atmosphere. What we don't really know is how much. The latest research on the east coast of America has shown that it could be melting right now, but it's really uncertain how much will get into the water column and how much would reach the atmosphere.
It sounds like all the carbon budgets and plans to decarbonize might need to speed up just to accommodate these large unknowns in a looming methane release. Is there any way to quantify that risk from methane class rates, and how does that add to the urgency to control human-made greenhouse gases?
I don't know. I haven't done any research on the exact carbon budgets. I've really just been focusing on, can I work out where it's come from under the ocean? And I think we've made some good progress on that. This is a worry. I did read a research paper recently that said, despite the fact that on the east coast of the US, the Gulf Stream may have moved and started to melt methane hydrate, there is no additional methane that's being detected in the water column yet. So that's the last paper I read on it. But the exact budgets and how much is going to be flux coming into the atmosphere and the ocean and what that means for mankind, it's an area I just haven't researched. And I wish, you know, I had more hours in the day. In my role in Newcastle University as vice president for global. And so you know, this was a startling discovery for me, where I got to dust off something I haven't done for a long time. And it's been an amazing experience, but it sort of makes me realize that research is the most exciting thing that you can do, particularly when you're working on topics like this. But I wish I knew more about how much is coming out and what that might mean for, well, COP28 and the discussions that are taking place about around CO2 and other greenhouse gases such as methane. I don't know.
I wish we all knew more about that. So more than a decade ago, two Russian scientists alarmed the world, suggesting a 50 gigaton release of methane from the sea was possible at any time. They required a landslide undersea for that to happen. Expedition ships were sent to the Arctic to find out more, including one funded by the Swedish Academy. But little came of that, really. And methane levels in the atmosphere are going up, but recent science finds the increase is coming mainly from tropical bogs as they heat up. Where do you place your new research in this mix?
Well, what I think our research has shown is that there are parts of the continental shelf which, if the geology is simple enough, these will be leak zones. These will contribute in the future. And I think what this has shown is that the hydrate reservoir, which is absolutely vast, 3.5% of it exists in this vulnerable zone, which is between 400 and 700 meters, 450 to 700 meters water depth. What we're showing is that 96.5% of the hydrate reservoir, which is located in deep water, could contribute. If the margins are simple and you start warming the ocean, that thermal effect will penetrate down to the base of the hydrate reservoir where hydrate is barely stable, and it will melt. And so what we're showing is this 96.5% of the 1,800 gigatons is accessible, and it is vulnerable. No one knew that before. Now, other research in how you could release large volumes of methane hydrate from, for example, slope failures can contribute. I've never seen anyone sort of say X is going to come from slope failures versus the mechanism that we've published just in the last few days. But all of these routes are possible. What we don't know is their relative importance yet. When I retire in a few years' time, I'm still working with some Chinese scientists on this. From the South China Sea, where they're drilling gas hydrates to see if they can produce them. Now, I'm not interested in that at all. But it actually, of course, again, accesses data and creates a data set that I can work on, because I'm very interested in whether how this methane is going to leak out when it starts to leak out.
From the University of Newcastle, we've been speaking with Dr. Richard Davies, and you can find links to the paper and his article in the conversation in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Richard, thank you so much for talking with us.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.